to see how that goes and what happens. So children, ages 4 to 11, we have history makers, teachers waiting at the back door. So you guys are dismissed. Y'all can go. It's going to be great today. Dads, Father's Day, another special day, you know, and it really is a special day that I just have to let you in on this. I mean, you guys may already know this. One of the dads in this room asked me, "Have you heard about the new movie, Constipation?" I'm like, "What?" He said, "No." And he said, "It never came out." Dad jokes. They're good, aren't they? The ladies put together the sock wall. Socks for jocks. No. Socks for pops. Socks for pops. And the donuts are compliments of them. They know how to touch our hearts. But you know, dads, you're terrible. It was, I've been helping. I've never been a caregiver before. You guys need to pray for caregivers. Anybody who's been a caregiver, you guys deserve like way more than anything we could ever do. But my dad's been in the hospital a couple weeks, and he's in nursing home rehab now. And so I'm helping my two sisters be care. That's why they're not here this morning. They're taking care of dad today. And it's just amazing, dads are, really. And I think about you guys, and I think about what's going on. And I read this, and you know, I want to touch your hearts today. I want you all to cry before the day's over. I'm like Harvey. Have you ever noticed? Harvey says, when you cry, Jesus showed up. And it's true. So I just want you to cry. You know, dads, what we're bad at? We're bad at judging ourselves and thinking we're not much. Because we look at we look around us and we see things. I think in worship this morning, that we sang those new songs. Weren't they amazing? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And what was that other one? I don't remember the name of it. But those aren't new songs. They're just new to some of us, right? Because we've never heard them. And I was like, in that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I'm singing it. And then I had to be a man and get myself under control, because going through this thing with my dad and going through life, there are times when I had to lean on his everlasting arms. And some of you that are caregivers, you know what I'm talking about, right? You can't do it on your own. Some of you that are struggling with chronic pain and illnesses and brokenness, and you get to a place, men, where we can't do it without him. And you don't want to think about that. So when you're singing that song, leaning on the everlasting arms, don't think about it, because you'll start crying. And you're a man, you don't want to cry. Well, most men don't. Dwayne doesn't mind crying out loud. So I was thinking, because we men typically aren't, most men, I'm not going to generalize, but some men, we're not extravagant worshipers. Like, I went full after it this morning, just like King David when he would dance through the streets in his underwear. But none of you could see it because it was in here and it didn't really show up outwardly. I mean, I sang pretty loud until my voice cracked, and then I had to quiet down a little bit. But, you know, it's like men do. And men, I want to tell you, when you come to your Father, he sees us differently than we see ourselves. Like, I was thinking, there's great Father's Day. Like, we get to do it just because I'm up here on stage and you're not. I got two Father's Day cards from two youngest granddaughters. And one of them's learning how to write. She actually wrote that. The other one, her mom wrote it. But when I was looking at these, I mean, like, you know, pretty amazing for them. 4 years old and 3 years old, I'm like, this meant more to me than you can imagine. Like, give me a new car. Oh, thanks. Another thing I got to take care of, and it's going to get dense and drag and wear out, right? But give me something like this, and it's better than a new car. Men, you know what I mean, right? Do you know that when you and I, us unable, or maybe we, I don't know, I'm not even going to say why, we can't worship like some people can worship. Like my granddaughters can't draw like some people can draw. You know, God looks at you the same way I look at my granddaughters. He looks at you doing your feeble attempt to extravagantly worship Him and obey the words and the songs we're singing, and He looks at you and He's like so proud, because for you it was a big deal, and God knows that. Our dad knows it. And I just want to talk about fathers a little bit today, and it's a big thing. This was written, I don't know how many of you are First Electric customers. That's the people out of the city limits. We have a really cool CEO of the First Electric Corporation, and he wrote a thing for fathers. And I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to read it. It's really cool. He wrote this. His name is Vernon Buddy Haston. He's president and CEO of Arkansas Electric Cooperatives and Arkansas Electric Cooperative Corporation. He's a business guy, engineer, all this stuff. But he wrote this, and I want us to read it. He said, "The amazing father who inspired Father's Day is a native Arkansan." Did y'all know that? An Arkansas guy, father, inspired this holiday that we're celebrating. William Jackson Smart, born in 1842 in Crawford County. After serving in the Civil War, he married his first wife, Elizabeth Harris, with whom he had five children. Sadly, Elizabeth passed away in 1878, and so William remarried Ellen Victoria Cheek Billingsley in 1880, and Ellen, herself a widow, she had three children already from her first marriage. William and Ellen had six more children together, and so that expanded the blended family to 14 children. Hello, Peter Baker, almost, right? Peter Baker is one of 15. Rick said, and I was like, is that 15 or 20? I don't know, 15. Peter knows. Ask him. He knows. Now, one of those children was Sonora Smart Dodd, born in Arkansas in Sebastian County in 1882. In 1887, sadly, Ellen died while giving birth to a sixth child. Sonora and her five siblings, who were still at home, were then raised by her twice-widowed father, who never remarried. And while hearing a church sermon about the newly created Mother's Day, that was a long time ago, Sonora felt that outstanding fathers like hers should also have recognition. Sonora proposed the idea for Father's Day in 1910, and it gained national and international recognition. President Richard Nixon made it official by signing a congressional resolution 62 years later, recognizing the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. Now, isn't that amazing? So he went on to write, "The statistics related to children who grow up without a father's influence in their life are staggering." A lot of the time, I think we're judging families based on, well, look at these statistics. Over 20 million children do not have a father in the home. They compromise 85% of youth offenders in prison. 71% of high school dropouts don't have a father in the home. 90% of homeless or runaway children don't have a father in the home. 71% of parents in drug or alcohol treatment, and they are four times more likely to live in poverty. They don't have a William Smart to show them the way. And then he writes, this is in the Arkansas magazine that they put out, the business electric cooperatives put out, First Electric. "Happy Father's Day to all you fathers and father figures out there. Don't forget the impact that you have. And not only you and your children's lives, but in the lives of their friends and classmates. A good father is an important part of the foundation from which a successful life can be built upon. They don't have a William Smart or you to show them the way. Fathers, this isn't an accusation, it's a recognition of the impact you make with your presence in a home. And it can be your home, your physical family. It can be a family down the street. It can be kids in church or wherever they are. Your presence makes a difference in the lives of our children, boys and girls. And I think fathers sometimes, you see, fathers, we're all fully aware of our mistakes we make, right? We know. That's why we don't worship extravagantly. I know I have no rhythm. I know I dance like that guy on The Jerk, that movie. I know that. I know my voice cracks when I sing. I know. But you know none of that matters to him? What matters to him is how we live. You see, I think fathers, you're not looking for recognition when you're a father. You're not looking for recognition when you father a child that maybe it's not yours. You see, half of his children weren't his. Not half. A part of his children weren't his. He fathered them too. The man who wrote this was raised by a stepfather who impacted his life. Wasn't his natural father. You know, I want you to know that you make a difference, Dad. That is absolutely concrete, 100% true. And it's important what we bring. We're not perfect, and we're not looking for recognition. None of you here. I mean, we were all thankful for the socks. I mean, my gosh, the girls get these wonderful, really things, and what do we get? Socks, you know? That was a joke. Thank you, Sock Dana and Missy or whoever. I love socks. And, liars go to hell just like chicken thieves. But a good father is an important foundation to build upon, right? Now I want to do something that for fathers right now. And it's going to be a little awkward, and that's okay, right? You guys don't care. So I want to ask, I'm not going to make the fathers do anything. Because I know how fathers are. We don't want to be on up front. But I am going to ask the fathers to stand up. Okay? If you don't stand up, that's okay. I'll make fun of you on the microphone. You don't have to. And then, fathers, dads, I want you to create a place in your heart to receive right now. Like, to receive, right? It's okay. I brought one Kleenex in case y'all cry. We'll share. I don't know what'll happen. I do know this, that if you'll open your heart, and if you're standing there, you don't have to do anything, just receive what the Lord is wanting to do inside of you, because those are statistics that Jesus knew about when he decided to come to earth and be the Heavenly Father that we all needed. Those arms we lean on are his arms. He's our father. So now here's what I'm going to ask the rest of you guys to do, if you will. I'll just explain it if I can. I'm going to ask everybody who's willing to encourage and bless the fathers in this room right now, if I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm going to ask you to talk on this microphone thing. I'll turn this one off. I don't have to? Okay. I'll ask you to talk on this. And they're going to, because I want you to do one thing. And it's going, something spiritual is going to happen. I'm going to ask you to say two words to the fathers. And I don't mean just your fathers or family. I mean fathers. And it's not even have to be. You know, I'm thinking the truth is you can be a father without being a natural father. The man who wrote that, the president and CEO of the electric cooperative, it was his stepdad. It wasn't his biological dad. So I'm going to ask the fathers, okay, I'm going to ask the men to stand up. The fathers who aren't fathers, biologically, naturally, would you guys stand up too? I think you got to have this too. So it's not, there's no difference, right? It may even be greater if it's not your child. So, and I'm going to ask you, whoever's left in the room, which is women. I didn't plan it that way. It's just weird how that works out. Because you're fathers too. Don't, you know, we were created in His image. But I'm going to ask those of you who are willing to, I'm going to ask you to come up here and just come up to the front and line up. And I want you just to say with all your heart, as sincerely, two words to the dads sitting in here right now. They don't want this. I'm telling you, we don't want it. I want you to say thank you. Take this mic, hold it close to your mouth, catch your breath, and say thank you to fathers. Okay? So ladies, if those of you that are willing to, would y'all come up and come line up, and I'll hold the mic, that way it'll be easier. We don't have to pass it. And you can, Valerie gets to go first. She really loves fathers. So ladies, we're going to wait till all you guys get up here. The Lord told me to take our time. Because men, we would want you guys to rush through it. We don't want to receive this. We do, but we don't. You know, isn't that weird?
Two words.
Thank you. But it can mean a lot, okay?
Thank you.
We'll just pass it down.
Thank you.
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 So let's just close our eyes for a second. Dads, let that sink in. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to see the value of fathers. Amen. Y'all can sit down. Oh, it's not over. You know what's funny is, men have to laugh and we have to cry at the same time. I can't believe Amy said thank you. She's a week away from having a baby, right? It's like, women are the toughest creatures on earth. I'm just saying. Y'all are going to love this because, dads, I think there's something you need to understand. You see, you're not just you. I love this. Fathers, thank you, right? With all of our heart. I thank fathers. And I want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 12. And we look at this verse a lot, but I want you to notice some things about it. I want to talk about being a father. Genesis 1, 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind. according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. You see, when God created the world, after every segment he created in Genesis, the scriptures say God looked at it and said, it's good. It's good. But when God created humanity, he looked at humanity and he said, it's good, good. It's very good. You see, because we were created in his image. You know, I think sometimes, dads, we look at our lives and we judge ourselves by our history or by our whatever. We judge ourselves all the time and we don't realize, listen, the truth is you were born a winner. You were born perfectly created to fulfill your destiny and purpose in this world. It's a big deal. You know how come I know that? Because I know the family you were born to. You see, I know we all have surnames. We all have a family history. We all have all the whatever past we have is absolutely true from this second back. But in the kingdom of God, from this second forward, I have a new dad. I have a new family. I have a new heritage. I am no longer just Alan Alford. I'm now Alan Alford, a son of the King, created in his image with a destiny and a purpose, empowered by him. It means something to be in that family. It means something. And you know, I think sometimes we forget it's a God thing. And you know, the truth is, these statistics that we read has nothing to do with Christianity or not Christianity. You see, it's not just a God thing that fathers are important. It's a thing in the world. God, fathers in the home make a huge difference in children's lives. Undeniable. Christian or non-Christian. You know why? Because God created it this way. He created every man on earth in his image. If you're a human, you were created in his image. And you have a family and a destiny. There's a bloodline flowing through you that's royal. And that's who you are, guys. We carry that, even if we don't know it. You know our problem is we don't know it. There is a way that seems right to the man, but the end thereof leads to death. Jesus, he said, my ways are not your ways. They're higher. They're greater. You see, God had a plan for this world, and his plan was us. So whoever you are, whatever your history, it does not determine your future and your present. It doesn't control you. This is God's plan, and God created you. You know, it's almost like, I didn't know this until this week. Eleanor is really a cool name, isn't it? I had to ask Katie how to spell it, even though I know how to spell it because we have Eleanor Rutherford, but she goes by Ellie. But you know what Eleanor means? I didn't know this. It means light. That's cool because when I hear the word Eleanor, I think of Ellie, the person Ellie, who she is, a very unique young lady. And now when I think of Lucy, guess what Lucy's middle name was? Eleanor. Guess what Lucy means? Light. What does Eleanor mean? Light. Lucy's light, light. That's like good, good. It's double light. The truth is God looked at you when he created everything in the earth. He's not limited to time and space. He sees it all. And when he looked at you, he looked at Adam and Eve. He looked at Adam and Eve and said, this is good. Same thing when he looked at you. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, God said you're good. And he created you for that. So you begin life as a winner. Anything that's telling you you're not a winner is a loser. Not you're not a loser, it is. Because it's disagreeing with the plans and purposes of the God of the universe who says that you're good. You know, it means this. You were cut from good cloth. You weren't born into a loser family or an angry family or an abusive family or a selfish family. You weren't. You were born, you're made out of good stuff because you were made in his image. That's who you really are. Anything else isn't who you really are. You know, I can't remember, but I know this is a saying. It's like, listen, you're a smith, and smiths don't behave that way. They're not saying you have to change your behavior to become a smith. They're saying it's already inside of you, and you're not behaving the way that you should, that what's in you. You're a kind person. You're a faithful person. You're an industrious person. You know why? Because God is all of those things. You want to know who you are? Look in that mirror and you'll see a reflection of yourself. When you look into Jesus' eyes, you see you. Because that's who you really are. Your family name means something. And the time I got to spend this week with Dad, it's funny, I was alone a lot for long hours because I had the night shift. And I had my computer with me, so I was working on this Father's Day sermon like for 50 hours this week probably. I have 5 sermons. I'm not preaching them all today. So it's like I could go on for a long time because it's really true. I think of this. You need to get that in your head. Like, you know, I've had the privilege of physically meeting several of y'all's dads. Now, some of them are already gone to be with the Lord now. But I'm amazed by how many of y'all's dads, when I got to thinking about it, I actually have known. And you know what? This is universal without fault. I can see where you get a lot of your gifting. Sometimes you can see physical manifestations from a father to son, but you can always see that other thing that's there. You know, you see it. I know why some of you can fix things. I know why some of you are hard workers. I know why some of you are musicians. I know why you follow the Lord. You know, there's I don't know how many people I know like this, but just in the last couple of years, 2 men I know, one of them this guy was about 50 years old, met his biological father for the first time. And guess what? When he met him and he spent time with him over the last couple of years, the first thing he said to me when he came back from meeting him, the circumstances, he didn't even know he existed, right? Circumstances did that. But when he came back from meeting him, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm just like him. Just like him. And the more time they spend together, it's like, how did that happen? He wasn't in the home. He had never met the man. But he's just like him. You see, you know what? We have a dad. All of us have the same dad. And you carry his genetics. You carry his personality. You carry his gifting. You know, I met another guy I grew up with back in the 70s, early 60s, I guess. But I know this guy. And his father died, who I'd known for 50 years, right? Maybe longer than that, since I was in first grade or something. I knew this guy. Well, his father died, so I go to the funeral. And I'm at the funeral, and I haven't seen my friend in years. He worked in China his whole career. So I haven't seen him. He's not been around here. But I see him at the funeral. And as we're talking after the funeral out in the parking lot, he's like, here comes this guy walking up. He said, hey, this is my son. I was like, you didn't have a son. He said, I didn't know I did. I just found out like 3 or 4 weeks ago or something, a month or two ago. Y'all know with that DNA thing you can do now? And this is not stuff, I don't recommend this, but you know what? Him and his son just fell instantly in love. And I'm talking to his son. His son's like 35 years old or something. And my friend had, I'm trying to think of a genteel way to say it. Anyway, he had an encounter with somebody from some town one time, and he didn't know they got pregnant, and they moved and left town, and they never told him, and this boy is his son, physically. And they found each other through that DNA stuff. And so I'm talking to him and his newfound son, and they're just like happy as 2 peacocks in a hen house, you know. And I'm like, dude. You know what his son said? He said, you know, I was raised by this guy with my mom. told my whole life that he was my biological father. He said, the older I got, the more I realized I didn't fit in this family. Not that no abuse, nothing bad. He raised him well. But he's like, I just knew that we weren't alike. And then he said, when I met my real biological father, I said, this is me. You see, there's something in that that's true. That's just true. And God said he created us, right? You and I were created in his image. He said this, Genesis 1:26. Dads, don't worry about it. It's already inside of you. Everything you ever need is already there because you were created in his image. Now, we don't walk in it by faith. We can delay it. We can be like my friend whose son was 35 years old before he met his dad. And now he's in love. And now him and his dad are going to keep on walking together. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's who you are, dads. You're the dad perfectly selected. You're the influence perfectly selected for the people that God's put in your life. And you're making a difference. Dads, I believe it's like this. I believe, you know, sitting over here, Harvey's on the far right. I believe Harvey impacts my kids. Not biologically, but there's a spirit realm that's more true than the physical realm. And I believe Keith Wessel impacts kids over here. You see, there's something about this that is divine, way beyond the physical realm we live in. You know, don't feel guilty because you can't influence orphans in China, because you are influencing, because you're a dad. And God said, this is how I'm going to change the world. And guys, you're all participating in that. And then he said down in the bottom part of Genesis, so he created, verse 27, God created man in his own image. God created you in his image. You weren't created bad. You were created in God's image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So ladies, you're not excluded. He created us male and female, both out of his image. Then God blessed them. He blessed you. That's why we lean on the everlasting arms, because it releases a power from God in our lives that we don't have without him. You know what? Okay, I'm not going to say that now. I'll say it. Then he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, fruitful, those words, I'm going to go ahead and do those. I'm skipping some. Looking at the clock. Fruitful. You know what fruitful? It means produce an offspring. How many people does it take to produce offspring? Come on. Biology 101, right? Two. Even back in Harvey's day, it took two people. Hadn't changed, right? You know what it takes for you and me to be fruitful? Connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes two. We were never designed to do it alone. And it's never changed. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. We need the power of God working in our lives to produce fruit. And then he said, fill the earth. You know, when he says fill the earth, that word fill really means reach your full potential. It's almost like if you put in this water bottle, it holds 20 full ounces. You've got to fill it all the way up. Then you filled it. You see, your purpose and your destiny, the fulfillment of your life, God gives you the power to do that. He fills you up. He lets you do that. Then he says, be fruitful and multiply. And multiplying, that is really interesting. It's not just increasing in number. God created us, guys, to increase in power too. So we increase in number. We also increase in anointing. We increase in wisdom. We increase the same way Jesus did when he was on earth. So he told us, he said, be fruitful, have a relationship with me, and have a bunch of babies. And multiply. And then he said, fill the earth. And then he said those words, subdue it. Subduing is an interesting word. It's one of those words us men like. It means to overcome, to enslave, to conquer, and control an environment or people, to create an environment. You see, what he's saying there is, listen, the world doesn't control you. Circumstances don't control you. You are created to control them. Quit listening to the news and thinking that all of that stuff is controlling the destiny of our world. It's not. You and I were created to bring an environment susceptible to promoting life, not death. And God gave us that job, and God gives us the power to accomplish His purposes here on earth. You were created for this. You were created for war, to bring the world into relationship with Jesus Christ and free from the bondage of sin and slavery. You see, that's what God created us for, guys. We should thank you, because children need to be free in our world. Children need to have purpose and destiny. The business world, the environment, there's a thousand things that need to be subdued in our world, and we were created to do that. And then he says, have dominion. Dominion is interesting. It's really, you can take this wrong, but love is what's most powerful in the world, right? Dominion means to manage or govern an entity. You were created to do that, to manage, to govern. It means an entity, a people or a government, an atmosphere, a home, company, team, your own self. And you know what? The funny thing is, at the end of that definition, when you look at this word in Hebrew, it's to manage with considerable or forceful authority. God's equipped us to defeat the darkness, to overcome history, to overcome all the stuff in the world that's not from Him. We've been equipped to powerfully advance the kingdom of God. You see, because God said this in Genesis 1, and I love this verse. Oh, I forgot I had that written down. We were created to produce seed according to its kind. We're the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of the king. And our destiny is to walk in, well, Jesus told us to be seated at the right hand of the Father beside Him, because He's seated there now, and He created us to rule and reign with Him on the throne. There's a power inside of us that we've never even dreamed of. And I look at that. It's a forceful authority. And God looks at it and says it's good. I believe, guys, that we were created for this time. You were created for your family. You were created for this season, this epic. You were created for this. Now, our challenge is to live by faith. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. This is what Jesus thinks about you. And I'd like to, next week, go on and talk a little bit more about this, because I think it's such a big deal. Fathers, we get challenged all the time, and we feel like losers all the time. But God said, you're not a loser. You're my kid. You're my son. And that means you have something inside of you that's more than enough. So men, this morning, I just want to encourage you. Believe who you really are. Believe what He says about you. Think about it. What does it mean to be created in the image of the supernatural ruler of the universe? That's whose you are. The enemy wants to tell you you're not. And I really want to look at Israel going into the promised land next week. and look at that story and see what happens. You see, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, guys. So thank you so much for spending Father's Day here with us and this morning. And there's socks for pops out there in the foyer. We would love for you to take a pair of socks home. And it's wonderful. And eat some more donuts because you want to get a dad bod. You don't want to be burdened with that six-pack abs and all that. That's really a hassle. Just forget it and enjoy life. And have a good week, guys. You're good. Who you are is so important. And what a privilege it is for us to walk this journey together. So let's all stand up. We'll pray and be dismissed. So Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you that we got to do a baby dedication on Father's Day. And God, I just speak life into Lucy Eleanor Carillon and into Eleanor Rutherford and to all of our kids. And God, I just ask that you would be there and you'd help all of us dads, all of us men who are going to take on the role of dad, to be faithful to who we really are, to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to believe. God, I pray right now for any father who's struggling with guilt and shame and accusations, God, that we want to turn our eyes on Jesus. The Lord said, whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's from Him, to keep your mind on those things. So Jesus, I ask today you'd help all of us dads not focus on the past, but to put our eyes on Jesus, our brother, our Savior, our God. So just thank you, God. Amen. So if anybody would like prayer, there'll be somebody down front.